So today we will have Hindi translation simultaneously. PJ. Anybody who knows English but not perfectly can hear it in Hindi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Saratatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Praesu Abhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Prabhu, I think actually you have to sit near Prabhupada so the ladies also can hear. If you sit there, I don't know if the ladies are going to go over there to hear your... Maybe they won't come anyway, I don't know. Okay, John and Bill. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 12, entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva, text numbers 45 through 47. And we will chant text number 45 up. I think so. Even though it's not written on the board, still, you, by memory, I'm sure you all know it.
Oh, it is there.
Ooh, he put 47 on the board. Would have been much easier to do 45. Anyway, because we're all expert Sanskrit scholars at meter and rhyme and everything, we'll get this perfect. And it'll take only about 2 hours. Okay. Asad Avishayam Angrim Hava Gamyam Prapanana Prapannan Amritam Amara Varyan Ashayat Sindhu Madhyam Papata Yuvati Desho Mohayan Yaha Surarin Tam Ham Upasritana Asadavishayam angrim bhavagamyam prapanna. Asadavishayam angrim bhavagamyam prapanna. Amritam amara varyana shayat sindhu matya Amritam amara varyana shayat sindhu matya Amritam amara varyana shayat sindhu matya Kapata yuvati vesho mohayanya surari. Tamaham upasritanam kamapuram natosmi. Not understood by the atheists. Angrim. Unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Havagamyam. Understood by devotees. Prapannan. Fully surrendered. Amritam, the nectar. Amaravaryan, only unto the demigods. Ashayat, gave to drink. Sindhu Matyam, produced from the ocean of milk. Kapata Yuvati Veshaha, appearing as a false young girl. Mohayan, captivating. Yaha, he who. Sura Arin, the enemies of the demigods. Tam, unto him. Aham, I. Upasritanam, of the devotees. Kamapuram, who fulfills all desires. Nataha asmi, I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation. Assuming the form of a young woman, and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. I'll read texts 45 and 46 also. Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, the person who bore the great mountain on his back for the churning of the ocean of milk is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sharanga Dhanva. I have now described to you his prowess. The endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Assuming the form of a young woman and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The instruction of this narration concerning the churning of the milk ocean is clearly manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is equal to everyone, because of natural affection, he favors his devotees. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu nami dvesho sti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapya hum. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. This partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural. A person cares for his children, not because of partiality, but in a reciprocation of love. The children depend on the father's affection, and the father affectionately maintains the children. Similarly, because devotees do not know anything but the lotus feet of the Lord is always prepared to give protection to his devotees and fulfill their desires. He therefore says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. Just a point, a note for your edification. Srila Prabhupada once stated in a class that we are giving darshan, or we are having darshan, of the holy name by hearing Krishna Katha, Srinvatam Sva Katha, Krishna, Suritsatam, the heart is purified by this Krishna Katha. So, when the deity doors close, it is quite sufficient to offer one's pranam with the hands and continue listening. Because if someone is speaking Krishna Katha and we interrupt the discussion to have I, darshan, once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing Braja Mandal Parikrama, just like our Lokanath Swami. So there was an announcement in the morning that some sannyasis would be taking out a group of people for doing darshan of all the temples of Vrindavan. So at the same time it was announced that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be speaking on the Bhagavatam. So, of course, it's a famous story. Srila Prabhupada did not go for darshan, but he stayed back to hear Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And Prabhupada noted that this boy, Abhay Charan, this boy likes to hear. He appreciated that. But he also stated to the returning sannyasis, did you enjoy your eye exercise? So, having darshan of deities is important. Deity worship is very important. And also hearing Krishna Katha is important. So there's no need, if one is engaged in having kirtan, I see that happen sometimes too. Devotees are doing kirtan, dancing in ecstasy, and the deity doors close, and they stop kirtan and offer their obeisances. There's no need. You're already on the highest level. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said in Bombay that if people come and see the deities but do not hear the holy name, then they get very less benefit. The whole purpose of coming to the temple is to hear from the holy name or to hear from the saintly persons that live in the holy place, otherwise Saiva Gokara. If can take your bath in the Ganges, but if you don't have an association with the saintly persons, then it is a waste of your time. So, anyway, that aside, here we are glorifying, hearing about the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting, the chapter of the Bhagavatam is entitled, at the end here, it's called the Mohini Murti Incarnation bewilders Lord Shiva. Whereas at the top of the book it says Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. So we have to always keep in mind that Krishna, Mohini Murti, is an incarnation of Krishna. She is not just an ordinary woman, or not even a very special woman, but she is none other than the Supreme Lord, and her attractiveness to Lord Shiva was that she was Krishna. He was not attracted materially. He is a great Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So, it is mentioned here in the purport that Lord Krishna is equal to everyone, but he's especially inclined towards his devotees. Now, someone may say that this is partiality on the part of the Supreme, and how can we have a leader who favors some and doesn't favor others? The leader has to be impartial. So how can we accept a God who has favors? Just like we have heard it, I don't know how reliable it is, but we have heard it that somewhere in the Jewish faith, are there any Jewish people here? I don't want to. No. A lot of our devotees are Jewish. Anyway, a lot of our leading devotees are Jewish. Jamal Krishna Goswami, Guru Dayananda Goswami. They're not Jewish, but they're Jewish yogis. But it's stated in the Jewish religion somewhere that only a chosen few will enter the kingdom of God. I think something like 144,000. Is that correct? Yeah. A chosen 144,000. So everybody objects to this because there's certainly partiality. And in other parts of the Bible, it appears, or some people have translated, other types of partiality, and nobody likes that. We all, actually Lord Krishna says that, mam hi partha vyapasritya yepisu papa yonaya striyo vaishyas tatha sudras tepiyanti param gatim. He's very open. He says, even the Papa Yoni, the lowest of birth, even those who are Sudurachar, Sudurachara, most sinful persons, even those who are, Swapach, who are dog eaters, born in a family of dog eaters. Huh? Chandala, yes, Chandala. Not all Chandalas eat dogs, only Koreans, and Chinese maybe. But it's a fact that even the lowest person, param gatim, can reach the highest abode by Krishna's mercy if he follows the process. So this is, of course, Prabhupada explains here that it is natural for any one of us to be partial to our own family members. He's just explaining from that point of view that it is natural. Just like a woman may run a kindergarten. Maybe some of you send your children to one of these preschool, kindergarten. They call it kindergarten here? Yeah, okay. So, that lady who runs that kindergarten may be kind to all the children. But if her own children are enrolled in the school and there is some danger, she will naturally protect her own child first. So Prabhupada is explaining from this point of view that Lord Krishna is, he loves everyone equally, but he's especially inclined to those who offer their love to him. But from another angle, you can take it that Krishna is impartial and he reciprocates with us in whatever way we approach him. And in that way, he's perfectly impartial. Even if you're a big demon, if you offer your love and devotion to Krishna at any particular point in your life, Krishna will reciprocate with you in a loving way. So who is Krishna's devotee? We're saying that Krishna is partial, he's bhakta vatsala, but who is a bhakta? A bhakta is anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna. Even he comes from a very sordid background. But if he somehow or other engages his tongue in glorifying the Lord, and this is why it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna, he's ajita, he's unconquerable, but one who uses his tanu van mano bir, his words, his body, tan, van, or vak, words, and man, mind, for hearing about Krishna. And this is, actually, this is very, very interesting. This has been commented on by both Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that there are different ways of understanding this tan van manubir. The devotee, he can, of course, serve Krishna by his body, words, and mind. And there are nine processes of devotional service, Navalakshana. And one can use his body and his words and his mind to serve Krishna. Then he explains that the devotee can also directly use his words to call Krishna to come. He can use his body to be actively engaged in devotional service, and he can use his mind to think of the form of Krishna and worship him in that way directly, or to fix his mind on the lotus feet of the deity. And there's also an explanation that the demons, the devotee, he can conquer Krishna. Krishna is ajita, but he becomes jita, conquerable. So the devotee is the only one who can conquer Krishna because his body, mind, and words are surrendered to Krishna. But the non-devotee, the abhakta, the avaishnava, he is conquered by Krishna because Krishna's body is non-different than his self. Krishna's words are scripture, even his breathing. The Vedas are said to be the breathing of the Supreme Lord. So what to speak of his words? Of course, while speaking, we're breathing. And of course, whatever Krishna thinks, that is reality. His dream, Sushupna, Krishna's dream as Mahavishnu, lies down in the causal ocean, and in his sleep, all the universes come. So it's Krishna's dream. The whole existence is Krishna's wonderful dream. So his body, mind, and words conquer over the demons, the avaishnava, the asat. many ways that one can understand this, but if you want to understand Krishna, then Jnane Prayasam Udapasya. You have to give up this desire to understand Krishna by your independent speculation. Very clear here. Udapasya means that you have to, there's no possibility. Jnane, by acquiring knowledge, or mundane knowledge, jnana. Anyavilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. This is anukul bhakti krishnanu shilanam. Bhaktir uttama is the highest stage of devotion, when you renounce even the desire for karma and jnana. Kunti Devi also says the same thing, that if you are still interested in good birth, if you are still interested in material opulence, if you are still interested in fame or any of the six opulences, then you will not be able to understand Krishna. He is only purchased by those who are niskinchan, who have no material attachment, even to knowledge, mundane knowledge. We find in society that gross sense enjoyers are not very much respected, even by civilized, cultured people. Mostly we find the well-to-do people are somewhat regulated in their lives. They have a little historical, mundane knowledge. They have a little money. They're regulated, actually. If you want to earn money, if you want to be successful in the material world, even then you have to practice the austerity of regulation. Devotees sometimes feel difficulty in practicing the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. Prasadam adigacchati there. Prabhupada describes them as prasadam, not Prabhupada, Lord Krishna describes them as prasadam, the mercy. Prasadam adigacchati, and Prabhupada translates the regulative principles of devotional service. The regulative principles of freedom, he says. So, even if you want to be successful materially, you have to be regulated. So, people understand this. People who are good businessmen, you go with Maha Mantra to meet any of his contacts, and you'll find that many of them are quite austere and regulated in their lives. Every morning, 8:15, they're in the office. Every morning, 8:25, they have their cup of tea. Every morning, 8:35, they sign the checks. Every morning, they have a board meeting, or whatever it is. They're regulated, and they're successful. Those who are unregulated, they're simply gross enjoyers. They work in the factories, they get a pittance money, and they get gross sense gratification, and they die young, and their life is horrible. But even those who are regulated, even those who are practicing mundane austerity, they cannot understand that if they want the highest goal in life, if they want to be truly happy, then they have to give up this desire for karma and jnana. You have to surrender to Krishna fully, the way the gopis surrendered to Lord Krishna. They had no desire for anything at all. They simply wanted to serve Krishna with tan, man, dan, everything. So Krishna is conquered in that way. And when you reciprocate with Krishna, everything is your desire. It all depends on you. Throughout your life, you cannot blame anyone else for what is happening to you. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Whatever is happening to you, Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam, it is happening to you because of your purva karma. And whatever good happens to you, that is the special mercy of the Lord. Whatever bad is there, it is your purva karma. And whatever good is happening to you, it is the mercy of the Lord. He's giving you some facility for serving Him. That is the way a devotee sees life. Tate nukampam. He sees everything as the mercy of the Lord. Anukampam. Susamikshamana. Bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So, keep it in mind that if you want to relish the process of Krishna consciousness, then you must have regulated activities. There must be some seva, some service. We have got a preaching mission. But if you have extra time, spend it in tasting the nectar, glorifying Krishna. That cetodarpana marjanam, then all the anarthas, then all the agitation, then all the doubt will be cleansed from your heart. There's no difficulty in devotional service. Those who are practicing pure devotional service, they never have any problems. They see everything as an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. If they're thrown in jail, this used to happen to us in the early days in the West, we would constantly get thrown in jail for chanting on the streets. We would always carry our beads with us, and we'd always carry a Bhagavad Gita or something, because invariably, at least once a week, we would get captured by the police and thrown in jail until we went to court. Years later, we went to court many times and we won, at least in America. In England and Australia, there was no constitution, so that even the court battles were difficult. But we were always put in jail, so we always knew that in jail it was a great place for finishing your rounds and having extra Bhagavad Gita classes. And sometimes we even hoped we would get thrown in jail. But if you want, if you have any extra time, or if you want to relish, if you want to get the most out of the effort you put into devotional service, then every little bit of extra time, sit down and glorify the Lord. Read about His pastimes. Not only will that give you pleasure, but it will help you in your conditional activities of devotional service. There's two kinds of activities, constitutional and conditional. Constitutional means offering arati to the Lord, chanting the Lord's names, chanting His pastimes. Conditional activities are activities... See, this is sufficient. Prabhupada said it, I didn't. Ask Bhakti Vikash Maharaj if you don't believe me. So, if this... See, already I'm disturbed. My train of thought is disturbed. You got me. Huh? Heavy? Oh, constitutional and conditional. Yeah. Conditional means going to the bank for Krishna, going to the Birlas for Krishna, going, whatever, doing legal work for Krishna, managing the accounts, sweeping, well, sweeping the floor is constitutional, I think. The gopis are always cleaning Krishna's house. That's another thing. But if you want to become expert in your conditional activities for Krishna, then make sure you keep a focus on chanting and glorifying Krishna. Because if you forget who you're working for, then you'll dry up like a prune. You know, a dried prune or a dried apricot, you know, or a dried apple. Have you seen these dried apples that you get in the market? A little piece of apple and it's all dry. It's like rubber. Even you put water on it. You'll dry up. Your devotional service will dry up. Your heart will dry up. You have to remember that it's that Sri Krishna, that beautiful black, blue, cowherd boy who at 7 years old held Govardhan up with his little finger for a whole week. It's not like, you know, you go to these competitions where they have all these weightlifters and they lift it up for 1 minute and then crash, they let it fall to the ground. Not like that. It's not like Krishna, like, you know, and then the mountain fell down. He just lifted it up and held it that way for 1 week. That's our Krishna. He's our hero. He's our savior. And there's so much more about Krishna that gets, I mean, that, those are some of his external, those are some of his pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends and cows, etc. And they're all very sweet. But Krishna gets very, you know, she's got the eyelashes and the eye movements and the shyness and she knows how to control her man. So much so that Lord Krishna was attracted by her expertise. And he took birth as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find out, where does she get this ecstasy from? I'm not feeling such ecstasy. And I'm God. Radharani, where does she get such ecstasy? I want to taste that. So if you don't spend time, just the other day I was at one man's house, and he's a wonderful devotee, works very hard for Krishna, he wants his family to be Krishna conscious, and so we were talking about Krishna, and he brought him, you know, Beta, bow down to Swamiji, son, bow down, come on, bow down, bow down, trying to train his kids to be Krishna conscious. And so I asked the girl, or Maha Mantra asked the young girl whether she chanted any rounds. And she said, no, I don't get time. You know, the famous excuse, Mr. Agarwal, please come for darshan. We're having a special Kartik festival this Friday, or it's, you know, it's Julin Yatra, you can swing Lord Krishna. Just come for 1 hour. Swamiji, I'm sorry, I don't have time. The famous answer, bogus! Bogus! You all have the same time. 24 hours! You can't get more time. We all have the same amount of time. It's just a matter of what you give your priority to. Don't say, I don't have time. Say, I choose to make coming to the temple not a priority. I choose not to come to the temple. I choose to do other things. Don't say, I don't have time. That's bogus. You have time. But you're making a conscious choice. So if you say that you have no time to sit down during the day and read some Krishna katha, bogus. You have time, and all of your authorities, right from Gopal Krishna Maharaj down, will tell you that you should read Krishna Katha at least 1 hour a day. How many of us do that? Oh, I don't have time. Huh? I don't have time. You have 24 hours. Yeah, but, you know, I don't have time. So, it's here in the Bhagavatam, right here. One who, one who, the endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Narayana. Any questions or comments? Yes.
We were at a yesterday, one man was there's so many different religions, part of the Jain, and everything else. They model their scriptures all in Sanskrit, and we don't accept the so many people accept and do not accept. So how would you convince someone that Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, and what we're teaching is the absolute truth, and what they're following is maybe not the absolute truth? People basically convince about what they're following is the absolute truth.
So the question is that there are so many scriptures and so many people following different religions, and they're all thinking that their way is the right way. How do you convince them that our way is the right way? I guess you are fairly experienced at that, doing more preaching than most of us, especially in book distribution. I would think that each person differs according to yayatha mam prabhajante, you know, according to how they approach you, with whatever degree of sincerity or whatever degree of inquisitiveness they have, you can reciprocate with them. For example, in a large crowd, Srila Prabhupada would often say that we are not trying to convert anyone. You can follow your scripture, but follow it according to the actual scripture, just like thou shalt not kill. Every scripture condemns killing. Even in the Quran, killing is not the first priority. You can't kill in the mosque. Killing is something secondary or tertiary. So why are they killing, Prabhupada would say, why are they killing so many cows? So you can try to, you can answer that, you know, if you follow your scripture correctly and try to appreciate the principles of Krishna consciousness and apply them, then you can certainly attain perfection. We're not saying that you have to chant Hare Krishna. You can chant the Jesus prayer if you like. But in a smaller gathering, Srila Prabhupada did say that, you know, he did say more specific things about other religions and how they were inferior to the Vedic Sanatana Dharma. He even mentioned that a follower of the demigods is superior to a Christian, who theoretically Christians worship a theistic God. I mean, they worship God as a person, the Supreme Person, theoretically. But Prabhupada said one who accepts the Vedas, even though he's not directly worshiping Krishna, he's worshiping the demigods, but because he's attached to the highest scriptures, said he's superior. And, of course, there were various other things. Once one devotee, Krishnadas, came to see Prabhupada in Los Angeles. He had left Germany where he was preaching. He was back in the States. I think he was living outside. But he had heard some story that Prabhupada had said Christians were nonsense. So he came, and at that time Karandar and Jaitirtha were there, and Prabhupada was talking to them, and Krishna Das said something like that. Prabhupada, did you say that Christians are nonsense? Somebody said you said Christians are nonsense, because Krishna Das wasn't. I think he was practicing Christianity, or maybe he was formally. He was certainly very sentimental. And Prabhupada said, no, I never said that. Who said I said that? It's not true. And then when Krishna Das left, he turned to Karandar and said, those Christians, they're just nonsense. I don't know if that was a joke or what, but it's a fact that a religion where they killed their acharya, or a religion where they teach you that you can't have sex with your mother or sister, or like Muhammad, he had to teach his folly. In the Quran, it's stated, don't have sex with your mother. Now, that means they were having sex with their mother, and he had to tell them not to do it. So, and the fact is that they also married directly within their families. So the blood is contaminated. Even though they're trying to worship God, and that's good, but there are some defects in their activities and even their process. So how you would explain that to someone is a matter of what level they want to hear it. A preacher certainly has to be tactful. Sometimes it's better not to disturb the minds of the less intelligent, but to engage them in positive works of devotion. You want to add to that? I'm sure you do. Go ahead. Yeah, you have to be very sharp. To be a preacher, actually preaching makes you sharp, makes your mind quick and sharp. Preaching is very good for you, especially when you meet many different people, and not just to ask them for money, but you've got to convince them. It's very good for your health. I remember once, this is the kind of thing that can happen. I was at a book table in Boston, and some guy, obviously a Christian, walked up to the table and very arrogantly said, do you believe in all this crap? He didn't use that word, he used another word. Huh? Yeah. You guys really believe in all this crap? So I said, sure, what kind of crap do you believe in? You gotta be quick. And then he was stunned, he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. Caught him off guard. So, if you train your mind, actually people are weak-hearted, weak-minded. Because the devotees, because you get up every morning at 4:30 for Mangalarti, you're thinking that, I'm just following these rules and regulations, and what's the benefit? But you'd be surprised how strong you are becoming in comparison to non-devotees. Anybody who follows the morning program, he's becoming very healthy. Anyone who takes a cold shower in the morning, he's developing strong nerves. Anyone who chants 16 rounds, he's training himself. He's becoming Übermensch, Superman. Is that the right pronunciation? Übermensch. He's becoming a powerful person. So when you go out to preach and you simply present our philosophy nicely, you'll be surprised how you can defeat people. without a whole lot of effort. We have such superior firepower. You know, it's like the American military and the Iraqis. You know, it wasn't even, Desert Storm wasn't even a battle, you know. What did they win in 6 days or 5 days or something? It was so one-sided. They had these bombs, missiles, that would go like this, and then they would be over top of a house, and then they would turn and go down the chimney and blow up. And the Iraqis had nothing like that. They had missiles that had television sets on them. The missile had a television set, and it could see, had a camera, and it could see, and it relayed a message back to the base where the missile had been first fired. And they could see on their television where the missile was going, and they could press a button and change the direction of the missile so it would go somewhere else. So they had such superior weapons. And we also have very superior weapons. Srila Prabhupada's purports are so potent. If you study them and prepare yourself, you can defeat anyone in the world. I think so. What do you think, Maharaj? He has had a lot of experience in preaching to people who have totally different conceptions. Right? Huh? Scientists. Bogus scientists. Not some sincere ones, but just see Sadaputa and Rasaraj Das. Using Prabhupada's books, they have developed ideas which are going to change the course of history. Because today, people are influenced by scientists. But if you listen to Rasaraj preach, he's got a whole arsenal of Brahmastras ready to destroy all of their bunkers. They were the Germans. A bunker is like a very solid fort. The Germans had very strong bunkers in the Second World War or even the Russians. They make missile silos where you have a nuclear missile and it's in a solid fort. And even if other missiles hit it, they won't penetrate. So the scientists, they've captured people's minds and people are bewildered and they can't get out and the scientists are so strong. But just by taking Prabhupada's books, two men, Sadaputa, Rasaraj, and Dhrutakarma. That's what I was thinking. Dhrutakarma, they're making heavy damage, doing serious damage to the fortresses of these material scientists. Just using Prabhupada's purports. So you can also take them. All right. Srila Prabhupada's books, keys!